Session number 21014, rule 4.
Frank Burton, rule 4.
So I said to this chap, I'm not stopping here, because I wasn't going to get involved in drilling and whatnot. So I made my way down to the gate, and there was a small group moving out on lorries. There was a sergeant major, and I went to him and explained the position. I said I wanted to get up and back up into Holland to rejoin my unit, and he told me to hop on one of the lorries. He didn't say they were going to Holland, he didn't say where they were going, but hop on one of the lorries. We travelled for some time and then stopped in the middle of the country and got out the lorries, and the officer in charge probably found out he had a stowaway aboard and came up to me and said, you can't stay with us, you've got to go back where you came from. So I thought, well, I'm not doing that. So I went and saw this Sergeant Major. He said, don't worry about it. He got me some food and told me to clear off. So I left then. Hadn't got a clue as to where I was. Countryside, not a soul about. And I just kept walking. I don't know how long I was walking, but walking down this lane, and there was a dispatch rider's motorbike propped up against a bank, grass bank. No rider there. Anyway, after a few minutes he came back, whatever he'd been doing, and this motorbike had our brigade signs on it. So I explained what was happening to him and got on the back of the motorbike, and he took me back to 4-5 Commando.
Which brigade was this?
That was the 1st Special Service Brigade, which was originally under Lord Lovett. But Lord Lovett was wounded in Normandy, and Brigadier Derek Mills Roberts was the brigade commander then. So he took me back to 4-5. And I reported to Colonel Gray, and he just said to me, oh, you're back. And I never did tell him what had happened. How long did it take me to get back to the unit? But I suppose this is where your training came in very handy, because you just got on with things. You did the best you could. I suppose really I could have stopped in Brussels for I don't know how long. Maybe the unit would have missed, well, I suppose they would have missed me, but they wouldn't have known where I was. But to me, I had to get back to the unit. And
why were you so keen to get back to the unit?
Well, I was part of it. That was my, like a family. That was your family. And probably still keen. I was a young soldier. I was about 21 year old then. I had my 21st birthday in Normandy, and I suppose I was just a keen Marine. And then we went on small actions. We crossed the river, the Rhine. That was the next river we crossed. We settled down probably in the morning or afternoon near the Rhine, and the bombardment started I remember right about 5 o'clock in the evening, all the guns, the heavy guns, started bombarding the other side of the Rhine. And it was just one continuous bombardment going on and on for several hours. You couldn't imagine anything being, anybody being left alive on the other side. And then the bombers went in, and we after that, we boarded the, what were the Buffaloes, the tank-like craft for carrying a section of troops across water, waterborne, landborne, waterborne vehicles. And we crossed, I don't know what time it was, in the night, and expected to get off the Buffaloes and just move straight forward. But there were Germans coming down with their hands held up, surrendering. You wouldn't have thought anybody would have been alive. Anyway, we went, our objective was to capture the town of Wesel. W-E-Z-E-L. And there was a lot of street fighting, very heavy fighting, most of the rest of the night there. The German panzer tanks were coming in, which was quite frightening, really, to hear these tanks coming at you. And Colonel Gray and I were moving up this street, because the buildings were on fire, so even though it was night time, it was brilliantly lit. And we saw these three or four Germans further up the road and with a Panzerfaust, and aiming down the road in our direction. So there was a big fallen tree across the road, and the colonel and I dropped down behind this tree, and they fired this Panzerfaust, and it hit the tree in front of us, and Colonel Gray was badly wounded in the arm. I thought I'd been wounded again, because I could feel a trickle of blood down my face. Anyway, it was only a little nick, really. But Colonel Gray, although badly wounded, he carried on for a few hours afterwards, I think, until he eventually had to go. And the second in command, who was Major Blake, took over command of the commando, and I became his rover, his signaller. So that was three commanding officers I'd had. And then we went on, I think it was after the Rhine came the River Weser we had to cross. Of course, all the bridges were down, the Germans blew all the bridges, there were no bridges. And our job was to get across these rivers so that the engineers could build Bailey bridges to get the army and tanks and whatnot across. And the River Weser was a bad river to cross, because the Waffen SS, we were told, were on the other side. Well, we didn't know that when we were going to cross it. We crossed in little boats under heavy fire and managed to reach the bank on the opposite side, and were held pinned down on the bank for a long time, probably several hours. And I can remember the engineers, I think they'd started to build the bridge before we went over, days before, And they, while we were pinned down the river, on the river bank, they were trying to make headway on the bridge. But we could see them under fire. They were getting killed. It was tragic. It was terrible to see it, really, to see them being killed, trying to do their job. Anyway, we eventually did break out. I can remember seeing a line of Germans running across the top of the bank, and two of our heavy weapons section had set up, I suppose it was a Lewis gun, I suppose, and this chap started at the back of this group of Germans and just mowed the lot of them down, went right through the line. And eventually we broke out and carried on. And I think we had about another two rivers to cross. There was the Elbe. They were all bad, not very pleasant jobs. Because enemy, the Germans were always on the other side waiting for you. I think it was the Elbe where we got across the river and had to climb up a vertical bank. You had to climb it, and the Germans were on top of it throwing whatever grenades and what down at us, but we got up there and push them back. Went on further, because the Germans were really retreating then. And, I can't remember where we went after that, but the war was getting to the end.
Were many casualties taken as you stormed that river cliff on the River Elbe?
Well, our casualties, I don't know. Well, we would have had casualties, but I don't know. You didn't know at the time. Unless you were involved in it, you just didn't know.
Did you have to go up it yourself with the set?
Yes. Oh, yeah, to climb up with all the equipment on. Well, this is what you were training for. But eventually, say the war was coming to an end, and the one thought in your mind, you knew the war was coming to an end, one thought in your mind was to stay alive. We had several, I read our roll of honour, where we had men killed a couple of days before the war was officially ended. You know, terrible, really. And we finished up at a small country town called Eutin, Eutin. I think that's where you spelt it. And we settled down there, knowing that the war was ending, but still keeping your head down, because there were plenty of Germans still around, snipers. You had a lot of Germans surrendering to you. They were surrendering to us rather than being caught up by the Russians. They were frightened to death of the Russians. You would have whole companies of German troops, all armed, surrendering to us rather than face the Russians. And we, I don't know how long we were at Eutin, we settled in there, in the houses. VE Day came. I don't remember us celebrating VE Day. I don't think we had a drink or anything like that. It was, we were just relieved to be finished.
Why didn't you celebrate it?
Well, I don't remember there being any celebrations at all. Maybe the officers celebrated, I don't know, but we didn't have any drinks, we didn't have any luxuries like that. We were just happy to still be alive. You know, the war ended. And, of course, our job was finished then. I don't know where I went from Newton, but I eventually finished up back in England, back at Stonehouse Barracks.
What condition were you in by the time you got back to England?
Oh, I was in good condition. In good condition. I forgot to mention, I should mention that I was awarded the military medal. This was a time when we were in Holland. I don't know why, really. Unfortunately, I haven't got my citation, so I don't know what the citation said. But this is going back now. There was another Marine, and I were awarded the military medal at that particular time, and two officers awarded the military cross. And this particular day, we were told to get our things together. We were going back to behind the lines to, as it happened, to meet Field Marshal Montgomery. And the four of us, two officers and this other Marine and myself, went back by Jeep, miles behind the lines, spent the night at this, it was a hall, an idea of a school, I don't know, and polishing. Well, the funny thing was that my clothes were in pretty bad state, so I had to borrow a pair of trousers off somebody else and something off another chap to make myself look respectable. And because we didn't have any of our spare kit with us, all our kit bags were all probably on lorries somewhere way back behind the lines. So anyway, we had a great day. We sat in this hall, and when your name was called out, you went onto the stage, and Field Marshal Montgomery was there to shake your hand and decorate you. And afterwards, we had a big spread, food we hadn't seen for a long time, cakes and sandwiches and everything. Because when you went on the stage, you had your photograph taken with the Field Marshal. Then we had a group photograph taken. And a very pleasant day out that was. It made a nice change to what we were used to. So that was one special episode in my life. And I eventually returned to Stonehouse Barracks then, and the war ended, to be demobbed, and spent several weeks. Some of my pals were with me, and by then I was a corporal. Well, all NCOs were supposed to report to the office every day for duties. But nobody ever did. What our little party used to do, it's all right to tell these stories now, I used to form this our little party up, and we used to march out of barracks as a little section and into the town for the day. Returned to barracks for meal times, I suppose. And then eventually went down to Devonport to for your medical examinations and chest x-rays for TB, and received our demob suits and I think a raincoat and a hat, shoes.
What did you think of the demob clothing?
The clothing? Well, I don't suppose it was bad really for those times, because clothing was very difficult to get. You had to have clothing coupons. We didn't have any clothing coupons. So you had enough to make do for till you could get home and go and buy another suit. One thing I did find out while I was in the barracks, I was wandering around the barracks one day, and a chap stopped me and he said, "Oh, you've got the military medal," because I had the ribbon on my chest. And he said, "You get £20 for that, you know." And I'd never heard of this £20 as a gratuity. I didn't really believe him. As the day went on, I thought, well, I better go to the orderly office and ask. So I did, and they said, "Yeah, that's right, you get £20. Because £20 then was quite a large sum, where your pay was probably about £2, £3 a week. £20 was quite a large sum of money. And then you got a gratuity when you were demobbed. Can't remember how much, probably about £80, £90 or something I collected, which was quite a lot of money then.
How did you use the money that you got in gratuities?
Well, I suppose probably bought another suit, I suppose, and odds and ends that you needed. Some of your things you still had, like your shaving gear and boot brushes and that, you took that out with you. And we returned to Civvy Street.
Were you able to resume your former employment?
No, I didn't go back. I could have gone back. My job was still there. I used to go and visit the owner of the company when I was on leave. He always wanted to see you and see how things were with you. But I had the chance of a job down here. Well, I got married down here.
This is in Hampshire.
Yes. I had the chance of a job in a printing company. I was offered a job and decided to stay here. Unfortunately, that marriage didn't last. I don't know whether this is needed.
Was that a consequence of the war?
No, I suppose I got married young and picked the wrong girl, I suppose. She was a different sort of girl to me. Probably I was a fairly serious young man, I suppose, and she was a different altogether from me. Anyway, it didn't last. But I did get married again and had a family. But when I started work at this firm, I wasn't trained in anything, not in printing anyway, so I had a semi-skilled job there, which after a few years finished the, it became redundant because you had new processes coming in all the time in printing. And I didn't leave the firm, I was offered they offered to train me as a printer then, which I'd always wanted to do. Funnily enough, before the war, I tried to get a job in printing, but it was very much a father and son trade, printing. That was how you got into it, the printing trade. Your father was in it and the sons followed. My sons followed me. And I did get the opportunity to train as a printer and did very well. Start at the bottom on low wages, half the wages I was getting previously.
How do you feel now about having served in the Royal Marines in the war?
Very proud.
Did you have any after effects?
No.
Did it change your character in any way?
I don't think so. Probably it changed a lot of men. You were trained with guns. Probably a lot of the men became criminals. Probably when you were trained in all that sort of killing and things like that. But no, I didn't change, I don't think.